Georgia Power as well as Southern Company have seen advantages from increasing our diverse suppliers. First of all, we know that diverse suppliers bring a unique experience, sometimes bringing innovative ideas and fresh perspectives that help us to solve problems today and solve problems that are coming in the future.
Welcome to Electric Perspectives, a podcast that explores how America's electric companies are working to deliver the reliable, affordable, secure, and clean energy that powers our economy and our everyday lives. The show is brought to you by EEI, the Edison Electric Institute, which represents all U.S. investor-owned electric companies. I'm your host, Brian Reel. In the last episode, we were fortunate to hear from Charlotte Blount Lewis, a former EEI employee who helped lead efforts to establish business diversity programs during her tenure from 1982 to 1997. She discussed the origins of these programs and the first ever business diversity conference in 1984, as well as the evolution of those efforts over the years. Today, we'll hear a real-world example of how these partnerships with diverse suppliers are evolving and thriving. Joining us on the show are Georgia Power Distribution Manager Michelle Fuqua, Young Management President and CEO Brandon Young, and Pierce Powerline CEO Michelle Pierce, who will discuss the importance of partnerships between electric companies and diverse industry suppliers. It's great to have you all on the show.
Hello, thanks for having me. Happy to be here today.
I appreciate the invite. Thank you for having me.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. So I'm going to start quickly with Brandon and Michelle, and maybe we'll start with you first, Brandon, to briefly describe the services that your company provides.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time. Yeah, so Young Management Consulting, we're a full service professional service provider in the electric and gas utility space. And our services are a wide range of services in the project management, construction management, and technology solution space. And so we do everything from executing strategy to turnkey and projects for utility customers, as well as augmenting some of the resources at the capital level.
And Michelle, what about a little bit about Pierce Powerline?
So Pierce Powerline is a powerline construction company that focuses on safely improving our nation's infrastructure. And we do this by providing distribution, transmission, hydro excavation, and storm restoration services. For us, all of this is done by cultivating a we, not me approach to everything that, you know, we do at Pierce Powerline.
And how did your partnership with Georgia Power come about? And what are the sort of recent projects that you've been working on together?
Long story short, we had a very aggressive Georgia Power employee that came after us, which, you know, love her still to this day. But we were invited to a Zoom call with Georgia Power. And then Georgia Power employees came out and did a site visit with us while we had a project in Chicago at that time. And the rest is history when it comes to, you know, our relationship with Georgia Power. Our current projects right now, we have a few grid projects that are going on, which is, you know, some system upgrades in Metro Atlanta. We are working closely with some state DOT projects. We also have a 8-mile transmission rebuild and some trouble response crews that are out. And when there's storm restoration that is out there, they call Pierce Powerline as well.
Brandon, for Young Management, how did your relationship with Georgia Power get started?
Wow, it's an exciting story. Our relationship started back in 2020. We actually started through meeting at an NMSDC networking event. And at that time, we were about 8 individuals working to supporting public service electric and gas in New Jersey. And through that conference and engagement, through mutual friends, me being an Auburn grad, War Eagle, we actually, you know, started that relationship back then supporting some engineering design standards work to support high voltage and, well, medium voltage gas insulated switchgear plans and processes. Me being an electrical engineer, that was really kind of the ground foundation work of just engaging with the team. And over the years, we've been intertwined through the supplier diversity programs and working inside of the project management group and construction groups. And so I would like to say that Georgia Power has been, you know, huge and pivotal in seeing our growth and watching us scale to where we are today. And some of our notable work that also kicked off around 2020, not only was design work, there also was a need to augment resources and provide resources to support the grid investment or improvement program here in Georgia. And we provided construction management professionals as well as environmental compliance professionals. And we've been able to really take that talent from, you know, your labor foreman expertise and convert them to management level type roles. And that's really kind of gave us a good foundational footprint of the work that we're doing right now from a workforce development standpoint, as well as engaging with Georgia Power over the last years. And more recently, we've been working and taking on more critical projects in terms of high voltage construction substation rebuilds, providing strategy around how to execute those plans, interfacing with the larger A&E firms, as well as continuing to provide those augmented resources in the distribution space, as well as transmission line construction space, while also adding value to the project management team where we have project managers and schedulers working. So we have about a team of 18 individuals fully committed right now to the Georgia Power footprint, while also supporting the generation side of their fleet business as well.
So that all sounds like pretty comprehensive engagement on some pretty priority issues. And I think there's a common misconception that hiring diverse suppliers is an exercise that's hitting quotas. But really, there are competitive advantages that companies should consider in addition to the important work of supporting communities. So, Michelle, from Georgia Power's standpoint, what is the advantage of electric companies working with diverse suppliers?
That's a great question. And Georgia Power, as well as Southern Company, have seen advantages from increasing our diverse suppliers. First of all, we know that diverse suppliers bring a unique experience, sometimes bringing innovative ideas and fresh perspectives that help us to solve problems today and solve problems that are coming in the future. There's been studies that have shown that diverse teams are way more efficient and creative and innovative than teams that are just of one perspective or one racial identity or one culture. So bringing in diverse suppliers can also help us with our processes and how we do the work. And it really just helps us to think outside of the box. Secondly, by partnering with diverse suppliers, we're able to support the growth and development of local businesses, which can have a positive effect on the communities that we serve. And we strive to, as a company, to mirror the communities that we serve. And we in Georgia and across the Southern footprint have a diverse customer base, racially, economically, religiously, and worldview. So our workforce needs to mirror that. And we have consistently increased our diverse spend over the years and will strive to continue to do that. When we hire diverse vendors from our communities, we know that it creates jobs. There's a study that says that for every $1 million that we spend in diverse suppliers, it creates some 7 to 15 new jobs in the community. And that is value added. And when you think about how that helps to cement the relationships between the utility and their customer base and build the trust and the ability to work together to solve problems, it's out of the world, in my opinion. And also, when you hire diverse suppliers, you can mitigate risk that comes from having one or two companies that you rely on. It helps you to have more options in your supply chain so that you can overcome any upsets that you might have from one vendor. When you can have 10 vendors that are capable of doing the work and all of those have diverse backgrounds and experiences, you can overcome all of the challenges and disruptions that you may face. And then I've already said that our customer base is diverse and we want our employee base and our vendor base to really mirror our communities. And in Georgia, we serve 2.6 million customers across the state. And it's value added to have our workforce to look like that. And of course, you know, the competitive advantage that you hear across the nation and the world about diverse teams. 75% of Fortune 100 companies have supplier diversity goals and are seeing the benefit that that brings to their bottom line. And we want to continue doing that. And we are committed to working with all of our vendors to ensure that we have the right mix and that we make good business decisions to help them to grow and be sustainable in the footprint.
And I know Michelle and Brandon, you both clearly are very proud of the work your teams are doing. So I assume you'd agree with Michelle kind of on her assessment there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt, though. Definitely.
Very much so.
And it's my understanding that Georgia Power and and the other subsidiaries of Southern Company have had extensive supplier diversity programs for quite some time. I know for EEI, we're quite excited and proud of this being the 40th year for our upcoming business diversity conference. But for our member companies, they similarly have had programs for quite a bit of time. So maybe can you talk a little bit more about when they got started and really what has been key to sustaining and making these programs so successful and impactful?
I've been with Georgia Power for over 25 years, and we had supplier diversity goals even as I started as a young engineer. And I read somewhere that it goes back at least to the 1970s, if not sooner. And across Southern Company, we are committed to supplier diversity. The key to making the supplier diversity program successful for us has been that it's not a one company enterprise. It's a system-wide effort and commitment that we have made. And we have executive level support and communication in regards to how critical supplier diversity is to our overall business strategy. I know if you go out on the internet, you'll find interviews that our previous CEO, Mr. Fanning, has done, and Mr. Womack continues to talk about the importance of it. So it's supported not just from the top, but it's also supported through each business unit. We all have commitments that we make to really look at how we source and what we do. We have our supply chain, supplier diversity group is a central group that handles sourcing and helps us to work with our vendors across the whole system. So we don't have, each company has their own program. We have one system-wide program that we all get to benefit from to help us to do that. Additionally, we do a lot of capacity building and development with our vendors, from mentoring programs to group mentoring programs. And we just continue to find new innovative ways to help them to grow and to be successful where they are. Southern Company has really embedded supplier diversity considerations into our overall procurement processes. We have checks and balances in place to ensure that we are actively including the right companies and doing the right amount of recruiting so that everyone has an opportunity to bid on our RFPs. And by taking this comprehensive approach, our company, Southern Company, has been able to build a robust and sustainable supplier diversity program that delivers benefits for our company and for the communities that we serve.
Looking at Southern Company, I know you had mentioned some percentages earlier, but you're talking about a pretty significant spend and investment. I believe what I had seen was more than $2.1 billion on diverse industry suppliers last year alone, and that's something that you're actively looking to increase. Is that something where your company has near-term goals or actual roadmaps to see how you can continue to build on that?
Yes, as part of our Move to Equity program, we made a commitment that by 2025, we would increase our supplier diversity spend to 30% of the total amount. And we are well on our way to achieving that. And we're being very intentional about how we're doing that. And each year, as we have opportunities to look at how we're awarding work, we're doing it in a fair and judicial way. We are committed to increasing our spend across our diverse supplier base, which includes women, veteran-owned, LGBTQ, and others.
And looking at how some of the challenges companies are facing today, obviously supply chains are a challenge, workforce development, there are some challenges and opportunities there. For young management, are you all involved in helping work through any of these supply chain and procurement issues and helping clients like Southern Company really figure out what ways in which they can overcome some of the headwinds with that just generally businesses face on day-to-day operations?
Yeah, so I mean, when you work with a company like Young Management Consulting in general, you get a different flavor, different seasoning. And you also, as Michelle stated earlier, you add another option into your supply chain. So one way that we assist in that and Southern Company, other companies that we buy differently and we hire differently than some of the other companies. But we're all fighting for the same workforce. So our team is equipped. We have a procurement team that's set up to actually go buy and source different parts and materials and equipment. And we do that for other utilities within Southern Company. Just them having another option and another supplier that actually circles those dollars back to the local community are key. If you look at our staff, I would say the last 40% of the staff that we've hired have all come from local resources. And they also come from grassroots, labor, linemen, type roles. And so allowing those individuals who work 20 years to step into another role that does not require them to get their hands as dirty is a true value add. And then secondly, me being an African-American male, when you look at the businesses that are actually being awarded the business, you got white women owned, you got African-American owned, you have LGBTQ. But when you look at the African-American makeup of our world, our country, we're hugely underrepresented in a lot of areas. And so when you have a company like me and like Michelle, who's dedicated to ensuring that that customer base of Georgia Power sees the value and the benefit through the community service and the foundational things we do is a huge value add across the board, because I don't think anyone can hire like me and go in areas and neighborhoods like I can and like those that look like me can. And so it's an overall value added piece across the board that solves the supply chain issues that we have by just having a shortage of talent overall. We're all fighting for the same talent, but how do we take that talent and do something to impact others that may not even be directly related to electric construction? It could be something totally different. That we support. So that's how I think we help and support.
And looking at other key topics here facing the industry, of course, severe weather events are top of mind, becoming increasingly frequent in really communities across the country. For Georgia Power and the Southern Company, sibling companies there, you're absolutely in the hurricane territory and tornado territory. So as companies are working with our member electric companies to make sure they're ready and well-equipped to manage these events. Michelle, how does your company really factor into that storm restoration planning and response? And what kind of services do you think, by looking kind of to future opportunities, are there current gaps that your company is helping to fill?
So as we know, of course, that the weather is unpredictable and it's widespread. So one thing that we do at Pierce Powerline is we have our fleet of trucks placed in strategic locations within the Midwest, the Northeast, and the South, so that we're ready whenever that, you know, that event occurs, wherever it occurs, we can deploy our services to those locations immediately. And we send out blast calls. We only use union labor. So we go out and we, you know, contact the unions to get our labor, and then we deploy those people to those locations in which the storms are headed to.
And both for Michelle and Brandon, we, of course, appreciate the work that your companies are doing to support Georgia Power and the Southern Companies and other EI member companies here to help make sure really they're safely operating and delivering electricity 24/7, 365, I think 366 this year with the leap year. And as people who have built businesses from the ground up and prioritizing having diversity in your leadership, what advice might you give to entrepreneurs who want to do something similar or who have maybe never considered entering the electric power sector, but there really are some wonderful opportunities there? So where are these engagement sort of opportunities? And Michelle, we'll start with you. It really would be great to hear your perspective as the leader of the first African-American and woman-owned power line construction company.
Sure. So my advice is kind of two-part, and don't think of it being as negative, but for me, it's be equipped to handle disappointment and or rejection. because we're going to get it as an African-American woman owning a utility company in a male-dominated industry. There's a lot of rejection that you get right off the bat because you're, you know, people second guess if you have the ability or the skills or the capabilities to do the job. So be equipped to handle disappointment, but don't just take that disappointment as the answer. There's a really popular movie out with Shirley Chisholm, and she has one statement that she says, you're not always going to be invited to the table, but if you're not, bring a folding chair. That's my motto. I don't necessarily take no for an answer. I go out and I find workarounds. I try to figure out who I can talk to and resources that can help me get the answers or the where I want to be. And working with people like Brandon, because our company has reached out to young management, and working with other resources like myself that are out there, they understand the struggles. And as Brandon stated earlier, he can go out to, you know, the different areas and talk to people and bring them in to work with him. And it's the same with collaborating with other organizations, other diverse companies that are on the Georgia Power grid, that we can work together and, you know, provide excellent services to Georgia Power in the way that some others can.
And what sort of advice might you have, Brandon? And one thing that also came to mind is you mentioned the fact that you have some colleagues who might have done 20 years and now are kind of taking that expertise and creating new opportunities. So for somebody who might have already put in a really impressive 20 years worth of work, is it too late to start again, or is that really a ripe time to be thinking about what more they can bring to the table?
Right. I'll start that first piece first. It's never too late. You know, I believe in everyone's running their own race. And I spoke to about 300 undergraduate students last week, this past Saturday. And that was one of the things that was top of mind is, you know, run your own race. But I also think that you have to have a clear understanding of the market that you're entering and the customers that you want to support. And so I go with the next piece of advice is simplify and focus. You know, honestly, when you think of a business, everyone wants to say, I want to be my own boss. And, you know, but they don't realize that you're not your own boss at any time when you're running a business. And so simplifying and focus and having a clear understanding of your customer base allows you to really pinpoint where you can drive solutions. But as a newer company, what solutions can you drive quicker and faster that the other companies may not be able to offer? And also look and think about hiring differently. And that will allow you to really figure out how to get a workforce that does not require you to poach talent from your customers or even the prime partners that you may work with. And then leverage your resources and network that you have with other smaller or minority-owned companies. Small does not mean we have to take on small work. And so when I look at someone who's looking to step into entrepreneurship and the advice that I give them is that run your own race. Take your time, understand the market that you want, your barrier entry, but do not spread yourself too thin trying to take on too many customers and too many partnerships at one time. And like Michelle said, definitely be prepared for rejection. And also, when you own a business and you run a business, the last thing is about you, is about your team and your employees, and it's about the customers you serve second. And honestly, you may come last to that. So if you think that you're getting the business for yourself, you're getting in business for the wrong reasons. And I think that the employee experience drives the customer experience. And those who have that at the top of mind will be destined to be powerful entrepreneurs and tied to having a technical know-how and ability. I think that will really be my advice that someone should lean on.
And we're going to have the 40th Annual Business Diversity Conference happening soon in Atlanta, Georgia. So will this be the first time for Young Management and Pierce Powerline, or are these events that you all have been to before?
We at Pierce have been. This is our third year. We've been there three times. We're looking forward to the one in ATL, though, because it's always nice to, you know, reconnect with people from Atlanta.
Yeah, we've been there before, and we've actually seen huge traction out of the last one we attended. Our most recent contract with Con Edison came from this conference. We did not know anybody in that market in terms of work with that utility, and going to this conference allowed us to plant seeds. And at one time, we hired 8 individuals in January just to come kick off and work with their program. It took about 2 years, but we made it happen. So, no, we will continue to support this conference for years to come.
And Michelle, you're sort of our host here with Georgia Power, of course. What are you most looking forward to, and what sort of opportunities do you see from this upcoming meeting?
Number one, we're looking forward to welcoming everyone to Atlanta and also networking with the vendors that we already know and have an opportunity to meet new vendors who we may not have known that may work well in our organization. Also, just looking forward to hearing about the different experiences that companies are having and how we might improve our processes to bear in mind working with some of our vendors.
Great. Well, if you bump into each other there, please snap a picture and send it our way.
We will. And definitely Thursday of the conference, we're in ATL. So I'm in Atlanta. Michelle's in Atlanta. We're bringing the energy to ATL. So Thursday night, we're teaming up with another company, Electric Grid, and we're doing it after the EEI conference mixer. So all is invited to definitely hang out and show you how we kick it in ATL.
And it's fitting because the very first business diversity conference took place in Atlanta. So kind of coming full circle here 40 years later.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So we're excited.
You know, with Atlanta being the host, a wonderful place to be. Of course, we're here as well. The people that you meet and the resources that you gain while you're at these different conferences are, you know, priceless.
And at the end of the day, everyone's focused on making sure customers get affordable, reliable, increasingly clean energy. So just thank you all for all that you do.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thank you for listening. And come back next week to hear more from experts and industry leaders who are talking about the innovative ways electric companies are building a cleaner, smarter, stronger energy future for the customers and communities they serve. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Podbeam, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Electric Perspectives. I'm your host, Brian Real. Thanks for listening.